Chapter 4. The Cheerfulness of the Saints. True piety is cheerful as the day. This truthful line we owe, strangely enough, to one of the saddest and most melancholy of our poets, Cowper. Since there is no doubt about the piety of the saints, there can be no doubt about their cheerfulness. Saint Peter of Alcantara said of Saint Teresa, "With all her sanctity, she always appeared cheerful and agreeable." Another early biography says, "Her very looks had such a charm that they soothed and rejoiced those who approached her." This is the glad heart which maketh a cheerful countenance, of which Holy Scripture speaks. Indeed, we may be sure that there never was and never will be any such thing as a depressing sort of saint. The word melancholy has been used in connection with Saint Margaret Mary, but we know now that this has been a mistake. Penitents, many of the saints were, like Saint Mary Magdalene and Saint Mary of Egypt. Into the desert they went carrying with them the memory of their sins, and, filled with the knowledge of God's goodness to their own souls, they mortified themselves perhaps excessively. But they were well aware that our Lord said to the man in the gospel, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." Some of them, like Saint Pachomas and Saint Anthony, fled from the corruption of their age, and in caves and on the tops of mountains sought to escape the seductions of the fallen world. But they did not forget that our Lord had said, "Have confidence, I have overcome the world." Some, like Saint Gregory the Great and Saint Catherine of Siena, threw themselves into very thankless and heartbreaking tasks. But they made no mistake about the kind master they were serving, a master who said to his servants, "It is I, fear not." For these very words our Lord cheered the heart of Saint Teresa in the midst of the slanders and vexations which tried her. "Fear not, daughter, it is I will not forsake thee, do not fear." We complain of our environment, and no doubt we have some right to complain. But the environment of some of the saints was far more depressing than ours. Saint Catherine of Siena lived at a time when the church was in a most depressing condition, and yet she never lost her good spirits. Saint Philip Neri was famed for a serene and sunny cheerfulness of disposition, yet his whole life was passed in the midst of the evils of the Reformation. Saint Teresa herself passed through many bitter experiences and was in some ways as sorely tried as any saint we know. And, apparently, they escape the depression which we associate with overwork. It fatigues the minds to listen to St. Paul's account of his labors and journeying, yet it is this same highly strung and sorely wrought man who tells us that God loves the cheerful giver. It is well known that the heroism of the saints was often unsuspected by their generation. They were adepts at the art of concealment. As deceivers and yet true, as known and yet unknown. Saint Francis of Assisi possessed nothing at all, and yet he had the air and manner of a man who owned half the district, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Saint Teresa used to attribute the good opinion people had of her own cunning and hypocrisy. This, of course, was her humility. But by means of this cunning, some of the saints contrived not only to be misunderstood, but to be mistaken for very ordinary people. The Curie of Ars, for example, showed an astonishing craftiness in keeping his pot of stale potatoes out of sight. When he cured the sick, he always blamed Saint Philomena. Cardinal Capatrato says of Saint Philip Neri, veiled his miracles with a jest. Certainly, he seems to have been incessantly occupied in throwing his admirers off the scent. It is related of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary that, when she sat at meals with her husband, the Landgrave, she concealed the fact that she was eating next to nothing, by talking with the guests, by carving the joint, by sending for the maids, by changing the plates, and by a thousand other artifices. Saint Marcion the Anchorite spent the greater part of his life in dodging admiration. Indeed, in this respect he bears off the palm, because before he died he gave strict orders that his body was to be buried in a secret place. The saints did good by stealth and blushed to find it fame. they were well instructed in the school of that divine master who said, When thou dost an alms deed, sound not a trumpet before thee. When ye pray, pray in secret. And when you fast, be not sad, but anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not to men to fast. And in many cases they led their contemporaries astray by this means of their happiness and cheerfulness. This, indeed, will never be very difficult as long as the stupid world refuses to believe that a man who eats once a day, sleeps 3 hours out of 24, and wears a hair shirt can be a cheerful man. The saints were filled with the cheerful spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage and fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God, through the prophet Ezekiel, sternly reprimanded the false teachers of Israel, because with lies you have made the heart of the just to mourn, whom I have not made sorrowful. And so Saint Vincent de Paul bade Mille le Grâce, blessed Louis Marillac, honor our Lord's cheerfulness. So too Saint Francis of Assisi, unto the enemy, indeed, it pertains to be sorrowful, but unto us to rejoice always. In fact, we cannot but envy the cool facility with which these saints literally sent melancholy flying to the devil, to whom, they maintained, it properly belongs. Saint Teresa was quite emphatic on the point. Saint Clement Hofbauer used the phraseology of his day, called depression the vapors, but he added, the vapors of hell. I am never sad, said Venerable Father Passerot, and I thank God for it is the attribute of demons. Saint Philip Neri, in the plans he made for the welfare of his boys, associated merriment with the avoidance of sins. And they would not tolerate a lack of good cheer in those with whom they came in contact. The mirror of reflection tells us that it did irk the blessed Francis to see sadness in the face. On one occasion, he composed some verses and had them set to music in order to cheer up the poor Clares. My sons, St. Philip Neri was fond of saying, be cheerful. I will have no low spirits. I will have no scruples and sadness in my house. Indeed, he feared much more the harm from melancholy than from merriment. He never checked the boisterousness of his young men. When people complained of the noise which they made, he would say, Let them grumble as much as they please, and do you make as much noise as you please. He himself loved to watch their sports and horseplay, and when he was asked how he could put up with it, he said that he would allow them to chop firewood on his back if it would keep them out of mischief. He would make his depressed penitents sing. To a worried priest who consulted him, he said, Come now, let us run a race. And so they did, hand in hand. Of the saint himself, one of his biographers writes, Cheerfulness flowed from his good, simple, frank nature. We find him always sprightly and happy. Even the strictest and most aesthetical saints had their relaxations and their recreations. This is one of the rights of human nature which is not to be denied. We find St. Charles Borromeo enjoying his game of chess, and St. Aloysius enjoying his game of ball. The common recreation of her nuns used to fall flat when St. Teresa was not present. We find them, in fact, going up to her cell and coaxing her to come down, and it is recorded, she came, and we were very merry together. St. Alphonsus could not stand moroseness and frowns at recreation. It is better, he said, to say silly things than to be silent. St. Madeleine Sophie had occasion once to admonish a novice who was rather wanting in gravity, but she added, Be always happy and at recreation. In their dealings with souls, they took the cheerful and optimistic way. St. Francis de Sales insisted on using honey instead of vinegar for catching his flies. Reverence is good, but confidence is better, said St. Thomas Aquinas. We must be more kind than just, said St. John Chrysostom, adding, Kindness alone conciliates. If there must be an extreme, let it always lean towards our Lord's way of acting. You will gain nothing by command. Thus, St. Madeleine Sophie, you will accomplish nothing against the stream, said St. Teresa, and St. Francis de Sales, it is better to have to account for too little severity than for too much. Indeed, his cheerful broad-mindedness was such that one of his friends said of him, "France de Sales will go to heaven, but I am not so sure of the Bishop of Geneva." The mirror of perfection, says of St. Francis of Assisi, his highest and chiefest study was to maintain both outwardly and inwardly a spiritual cheerfulness. Perhaps we have not understood this sufficiently, that good cheer is a knack, an art in fact, that the result of much planning and contriving. People say, "You are either cheerful or you are not," and that is the end of the matter. But of course, the same sort of people also say, "You either love or you do not," and that is the end of that matter. Some effort must be made to preserve cheerfulness as to preserve friendship and love. Love commonly dies of sheer and willful neglect. We guard it with less care than we guard our trinkets and silver spoons, and although children are cheerful by nature and by accident, we adults are not. Good cheer flows through the little one like the blood through its veins, but it is far otherwise with us who have said goodbye to illusions and whose blood and veins are not what they were. Beauty may be able to look after herself, but not cheerfulness. A modern book has been written on The Conquest of Happiness. Whatever the merits or demerits of the book, there is a great deal of truth underlying its title. We have to make some effort to cheer up, just as we must employ a certain amount of imagination in the service of charity, so we must employ some strategy in the service of cheerfulness. How ingenious St. Teresa was in this way! There is no such thing as bad weather. All weather is good, because it is God's. And again, it comforts me to hear the clock strike, for I feel that I have drawn a little nearer to God. This is, at any rate, an improvement on the philosophy of the lady of the world who, when she was told to cheer up, because tomorrow was the longest day, replied, "That means that it is only 6 months to the shortest." Addison tells us of the strategy of a sick man who, when he had gout, thanked God that it was not influenza, and when he had influenza, thanked God that it was not gout. When Fenelon's library was burned, he thanked God that it was not the house of a poor man. And when the Irishman was told that his house was on fire, he said, "What do I care? I'm only the tenant." And we find a great deal of this common-sense philosophy in the saints. To her dejected nun, St. Teresa would say, "Come, come, we are not yet on the rack or amongst the Moors." St. Paul reproved the cowardice of the Hebrews by reminding them that they had not yet resisted unto blood. When Father Damien discovered the symptoms of leprosy on his own person, he said, "Well, at any rate, in future, when I preach, instead of saying, 'My dear brethren,' I shall be able to say, 'My fellow lepers.'" When the enemies of St. Remigius set fire to his haystacks, he and his friends, on being notified of the fact, galloped to the place in order, if possible, to save the stacks. When they arrived, they found the fire quite out of control. "Well, at least," said the saint, "let us warm ourselves. Fire is always good." Things may go wrong with us, but they can never go all wrong. No trial is ever as bad as it can be. Good and bad fortune have their innings, and if we do not lose our heads over the first, we shall not lose our peace over the second. The stars go into hiding from time to time, but they are always in their place, and, sooner or later, they peep out again, more welcome than ever. Hope likes the sunshine, but hides from the rain. What can't be cured must be endured. Perhaps if we had fewer desires, we should have fewer disappointments. If the events of life do not come up to our expectations, it may be that our expectations are at fault. Sweet are the uses of adversity, and the value of adversity lies in this, that it dispels our illusions, opens our eyes to the realities of life, makes us realize that one alone is perfect and unchanging, and that, as a saint says, it is only in heaven that there are no misunderstandings. Such reflections are not a blind deception or self-hypnotism. They are the ingredients of what St. Francis of Assisi called the study, and St. Francis de Sales called the strategy of Christian cheerfulness.